Lawmakers back this week for two reasons, actually, Senator, but the first was already on the docket, and that was the annual veto session.
That's right. Every year, according to the Constitution and the calendar, we have veto session, which we must report to, even if there is no veto. And if that's the case, then we usually will just ring in and take roll and then ring out. And if we have any work to do here at the Capitol, we can do that, but we're finished. This year, the governor did veto a few things, a couple of bills, and also a number of line items in the budget. So there were some things to consider. Frankly, I had looked at the vetoes before veto session. There might have been one or two exceptions, but by and large, I didn't really have a problem with vetoes that the governor had imposed. But there were a couple of the issues that he felt like should be addressed, even though he vetoed the bills where that legislation existed. And so that was the reason for calling the special session, as I think he felt like that they were issues he wanted addressed, but he didn't think the way the bills were written was acceptable. So he called us into special session, and we did come up Monday instead of Wednesday, would have been the normal veto session. The House did override some of the line item vetoes. They took a little more offense, I think, at the budget vetoes than we did, since they wrote the budget. I really didn't have a big problem with them, and then was even more comforted whenever it was clear from the governor's office that those items that did seem somewhat critical, he was planning either on finding another source of funding in one case so that it would be more permanent and wouldn't necessarily be subject to the same kind of review that might eliminate that funding on any given year, or in some of the other cases, he hopes to be able to put some of that funding in the supplemental budget, which we'll consider early next year. In those cases, I think what the governor anticipated was that the money would not be needed before then. I felt like his vetoes were pretty reasonable. The Senate didn't really see any need to take up the line item vetoes at all. We have addressed the issues for special session.
And the vetoes, again, on those line items, I think the total on those were under $1 million.
It was between $700,000 and $800,000 total of all the line items, and they ranged from, I think, about $45,000 to one that might have been a little over $400,000. And they weren't items in a couple of cases. I think the governor just felt like the costs could be absorbed in the normal budget, and that was just a matter of not giving extra money or some kind of an administrative duty that could be handled without the extra money. So once again, I read through the governor's reasoning on the bills and the line items, and I was pretty comfortable with the actions that he took.
Again, this comes after several years where there have been 150, sometimes more, million line items out in the course of a year, and apparently the legislature sent the governor a pretty decent budget this year.
I think so. We worked hard on it. The budget is getting harder and harder because Medicaid continues to grow and education continues to want more money. Those two are the main issues that take the entire budget. There are other issues that are very critical to the state, but they don't get a lot of the money, whether it's law enforcement or prison system. Some of these things, higher ed has taken some beatings in the last few years because it's kind of easier to cut them than other places. But the budget, it was worked on very hard. That both the budget chair in the House and our appropriations chair, Senator Brown, worked hard to get to a place where it could be well managed. And so to see, even with the line items, as you pointed out, less than $1 million of concern, that was a pretty good budget.
And along the same lines, these two sessions were related in this case. Veto not just scheduled the same time, but the extra session as well. Two of the bills that were vetoed were the subject of the extra session.
That's exactly right. The STEM initiative, the education initiative on the STEM issues, that was vetoed because the governor's office felt like that it was written a little bit too restrictively in terms of which vendors could actually assist the state. I talked to the bill sponsor. That was not his intention. If that was the case, I think it was something that he was simply not fully aware of, that the restrictions were such that there was only one company that qualified. And so he was happy to support changing that and making sure that that was clear, that this was not intended. There were certain standards that had to be met. Those standards were written in such a way that other companies could also participate, and I think that was the governor's concern. I didn't realize that was the case either when we passed the bill. Was happy that governor's staff caught that and that we were able to fix that STEM initiative. And then there was the treatment court issue. That doesn't even have a fiscal note because it's a lot of that is just organizational changes that are being addressed. Two things that are most significant. One is that that there is a commission that is being established. Commission exists now, but it's not called a commission. So it's kind of being renamed and the staffing defined. That commission will help to determine what best practices are in some of these treatment court environments and then set up standards for the state that will help us ensure that any treatment courts that are being used in our counties are used effectively and that the money that's spent on those is effective. Treatment courts have shown a real significant impact on recidivism and on actually overcoming addictions. And so we want to continue those. One of the issues with the name change, I mean, we're calling them treatment courts now by and large instead of DWI court or drug court or some of these other things so that it kind of addresses that these are addiction issues. The other thing that apparently the treatment court people really think is important is a venue issue. It allows someone who's in a treatment court to actually receive those treatments in another area and shift the jurisdictional responsibility to that area. Today, they can do that. They could send a prisoner from one area of the state to another area of the state to go through the program, but the responsibility for that prisoner remains with the originating jurisdiction, and that becomes a real nightmare if there are problems. We've also addressed that. Now it's going to be possible for the judiciary to actually reassign that prisoner to another area, and they can be treated there and administered there without having this complication. So both of those, I think, are meaningful changes, and I'm happy we were able to do those.